Happy Mother's Day. No, right there is probably better. I'm a little too short. Sure. Well, when Corey asked me to speak for Mother's Day, two words very quickly came into my mind. And because I like to write things down, people know me like that. We'll start with the first one. So the first one about mothers is fragrance. What are you giggling at, Emma? She's full of giggles today. Okay. Little does she know there's more coming. But anyway, can you look back in your life and remember the smells? Can you remember the smells of your family home? Maybe it was a special laundry detergent that your mom liked to use, or maybe she liked to dry her clothes on the line, and that all your laundry that came in smelled like the wind. Or perhaps it was the favorite dessert, apple pie with the scent of cinnamon and allspice, a raisin pudding, or my mom's famous mucha squares with the coconut icing on stuff on top, right? Yummy stuff. They're called mucha squares. I don't know. Maybe it was the yeasty smell of her bread recipe. And that could get turned into donuts or potato buns, or you can fill in the blanks, right? With all the good things mom could make out of bread. Maybe it was her signature scent. Maybe she had a special perfume that was blended with her shampoo and maybe her deodorant or some kind of powders she would use. And that smell may linger on some of her clothing. I actually, during this time while I was preparing it, I had a friend I hadn't seen in years come by and tell me about her mom passing. And she said she keeps a shirt of her mom's on the back of her bathroom door and takes a smell of it. This is actually Emma's shirt. But anyway, it's the most similar to one of my mom's plaid shirts. Yes. Scents and fragrances can leave a lasting memory. Just now I'm thinking about sauerkraut brining in the right? There were some memories not so easily pleasant. Sauerkraut was one of those. Here's another one. Those chicken butchering days when mom would render out the lard, right? Oh, that was the smell. But anyway, pungent odors. One of the definitions to fragrance is called a disturbance of the air. A disturbance of the air. And I like to think of that and think of the atmospheric change that could be in place with a fragrance. Everybody knows when we bring lilies in the church, right? You can smell them right away. It bothers a lot of people sometimes. But did you know that you also can change the scent of your environment? Gordon has something to say. You can't see it. I am trying. Let's see. We'll try red. So that there said fragrance. That doesn't work either. There's like nothing here that's working. Will it? Oh. Does it need to go up? Okay. Just darker. Let's try now. Fragrance. A disturbance of the air, okay? I'm trying to save a bit of space because I need that for something else later. And the other word here is atmospheric. Okay. Is my spelling totally screwed up? Atmospheric. Don't get distracted by me. I got lots of fun things in my tickle trunk yet. Let's let her go. Anyway, did you know that you can change the scent of your environment? Just think of that negative person that enters a conversation and now the bent of the discussion turns sour. Or on the contrast, you've got that jovial soul that loves to see you smile, so recalls humorous tales to lighten your load with a hearty laugh. Or maybe you've got that dear friend who is always there to pray with you and intercede for you. Who would you rather be around? Your mother can also reflect for you opportunity to find the pleasant fragrance of life. But your mother is not the source. Okay, we're going to talk about some sources of smell. When you smell smoke in the house, you go looking for it, don't you? Where did that come from and what's that about? Maybe it's a piece of toast that got stuck in the toaster and that's kind of getting a little bit too burnt. Maybe it's a little bit of an electrical smell and you need to find out what appliance is on its way out, right? Your nose is trusty to avert you from danger. But I got another smell. This is a great one. You know, all the moms are getting together and they got a bunch of toddlers in the room and all of a sudden there's a really bad smell. And what does every mother do? Go and sneak out her kid and sniffs him, right? Is it you? Where is it coming from? Right? That rank diaper. But she goes and finds her kid and takes care of it, right? Because she knows if I don't do it, it's going to be worse. So, as a good mom, comes, takes care of a nasty diaper. In the Bible, incense was used for many reasons, and it would help to distinguish holy sacred sites. I have some myrrh. I'm not going to open those. They're quite potent sometimes. And frankincense smells. When we were in Israel together with Ed and Erica, we were sometimes overwhelmed by the incense that could be in some of those holy sites because it's their culture to really burn a lot of it. And when we look into where the tabernacle building that was in Moses' day, Aaron was instructed on a signature scent, and he had a special recipe of the scents to put together. And where that altar was put was important too, because he wanted it behind the veil where he was in the Holy of Holies, where he was going to meet with man, where God was going to meet with him on the mercy seat. This was Father God's sweet aroma. But now, that sweet aroma and that fragrance, it comes from us. So I want to take you to a scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 14 through 17. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us reveals the fragrance of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are perishing, to the one an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we are not like the many peddling the word of God, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. We as Christians have Christ's sweet spirit within us. And we might think that we resemble our mothers, but really we have the potential to resemble Christ. So if you look here in verse 15, it just blatantly says, we are a fragrance of Christ. So where did I put my black pen, Corey? Stop. Where did I put it, guys? Ha. the source of our fragrance is Christ in us. Okay?
It's getting very scribbly, I don't know why. Anyway.
Christ in us. Maybe our Christ scent is barely there. Maybe we really don't reflect much of Christ at all. And our scent is... Maybe it's not bad smell, but it's not really good either. It's just sort of nil. Versus having a heavy scent of Christ on us. See here in verse 14. It says that God is going through us to reveal Christ's fragrance, the knowledge of him, God in every place. This is our goal in life, to understand his mysteries and be the knowledge of God in every place. So how do we get this heavy scent? How do we get to smell more like Christ? It says we're being led by God in triumphs, in victories in Christ. Okay? Triumphs and victories. How do you get triumphant? You must first go to battle. Right? You must first be challenged. Terrell actually used this word a couple weeks ago, or maybe even last week. You must first be challenged. Doesn't sound very fun. But when we become triumphant in Christ, then that fragrance is on us. We understand more and more how we can live for God. We can understand how to have faith. The scent can become heavy. So you might wonder, where did all this even come from? At the time when Corey asked me about speaking, I had been reading about Jacob and Esau, and reading how Isaac was blessing Jacob. And it was really interesting to me that he wasn't sure when Jacob entered his tent with the beautiful meal that he had prepared and to get ready to bless him. He's like, that voice is the voice of Jacob. That's not Esau. Like he knew something's wrong. And he felt his arms. Well, you feel hairy because he had put, you know, skins on. And he wasn't sure. So then he said, come close to me. And if you read the story, you'll have found out that Rebecca, she set the scene. She totally set the scene. She gave Jacob Esau's coat. So Emma, you're going to come up here, please. She is going to have to put on Emma's coat, Laurel's coat.
Okay, so here's Laurel's coat on Emma. And she gets close to him and smells his clothing. Oh, that's Esau. No, I know it's Esau. He smells like the wind.
He smells like the wind. Let's read it together. Genesis, I didn't give you this one, Shar, I apologize. 27, verse 27. Chapter 27 and verse 27 of Genesis. So he came close and he kissed him. And when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him. And he said, see, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field, which the Lord has blessed. And it was so interesting to me about this fragrance, how God just keeps building a thought in you, and to know this is how we're supposed to go. This heavenly scent, a heavy scent of Christ in us. At the same time, I was kind of doing a little bit of study on a renowned woman and her special fragrance, her special perfume. It was a very precious alabaster vial of pure nard and expensive. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 through 13. Now Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper. A woman came to him with an alabaster vial of very expensive perfume, and she poured it on his head as he was reclining at the table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this, and they said, "Why this waste? For this perfume could have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you bothering the woman? For she has done a good deed for me. For you will always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. For when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, that this woman has done, what this woman has done will also be told in memory of her." She's a renowned woman. Just a side note, I want to challenge all you Bible readers. This story is found in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But its details are a little bit different. And so I really want you to take this home. I want you guys on your own to read Luke 7, 37 through 39, and John 12, 1 through 8. That was Luke 7, 37 through 39. And John 12, 1 through 8. Together, we're going to read right now Mark 14, verses 3 through 9. Mark 14, verses 3 through 9. While he was in Bethany, at the home of Simon the leper, he was reclining at the table, and a woman came with an alabaster vial of very expensive perfume of pure nard. She broke the vial and poured the perfume over his head. And there were some indignantly remarking to one another, "Why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume could have been sold for over 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they were scolding her, but Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a good deed for me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good to them. But you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the entire world, what this woman has done will also be told in memory of her." So I just want you to take that little story home and think about that one and let the Holy Spirit move on you, what you think as you read the other versions. And I'd be interested to know what you come up with. The other word that came to me when fragrance came was also similar. It had the same ending. But the word is endurance. And its partner is perseverance. Do you find it interesting that the English language has linked all these words together? Anyway, it's just me and God together. I don't know. We see that stuff. Yes. When we're contemplating the attributes of a mother, this word endurance comes to mind. Mothers have a level of endurance to wake up after sleepless nights of worry with a sick child and still have joy to smile and coo at their little ones and to put all their efforts into caring for their families. As children age, the endurance changes to perseverance through getting kids to eat their vegetables and to make sure that they behave in school and to push hard through hard subjects and to get into the workforce. As my mother would always say, when children are little, the worries are little. And when children go big, the worries become big. These are times when the true stand of faith to endure through obstacles is required. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. This is my life verse I shared the other day. Therefore, since we also have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let's rid ourselves of every obstacle and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let's run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking only at Jesus, the originator and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Here within these verses, I found myself within a difficult situation, and I had need for endurance. There are times in life when there isn't really any more you can do but simply endure. Turning to Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. And not only this, it says, but we also celebrate in our tribulations. That just doesn't sound good, does it? We must celebrate in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance or endurance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I like this word, perseverance. I had a definition that said cheerful endurance is what it means to persevere. And then the word hope, to expect that it will happen. So I'm going to write that one down. Hope. Hope. To expect that it will happen. I read these verses and I think that we need to have that endurance to push us on. We would not see how the love of God could be poured out within our hearts if we don't. Now, I just want to stop here and put it into real life. When someone really has slighted you, and I'm just not meaning an odd mishap, I mean they blatantly threw you to the side and stomped on you. And in that moment, and the years to come later, your choice to continue to love them. Perhaps you can't trust them again, but you still choose to love them because you know that even Christ died for us when we were sinners. It's here in verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. I think of that mother with her wayward child. Nothing is going to stop her from loving that child. She will pour all of her energy and resources into the hope that someday her child will turn around and meet Jesus. In the same way, we can act as Christ. Through his betrayal and mockery, through his beatings and pain, he still labored for us. So I want you to catch that word too. He labored for us. We too must endure, but know that it's the Holy Spirit that is our source of hope and love. It's not in our own strength. And I'm so thankful for people who just reach out and intercede. because you need somebody to stand behind you and hold you up some days. And when you feel like that left hook is coming to your cheek, turn it, endure it, and hope on. Let's turn to Colossians. I love Colossians. Anybody else loves Colossians? Colossians is good. Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Verse 11, strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all perseverance and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. But if you look here in verse 11, it doesn't really start the sentence. So we kind of got to back up a long ways to verse 9. And let's start there. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard about it, have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I love here in verse 10 how it says, you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. It doesn't say that you'll walk worthy of man. It doesn't say that. Because who judges the walk of anyone? Aren't we glad at the end of it all it isn't how man views us? And isn't our number one objective in life to please our Heavenly Father in all respects, as it says here? You know, when you do something, a good work, and you later get criticized for that action, you may sometimes get disheartened, and you may consider never even doing another good work again. But who determines that that work was even good? How do you even weigh it for yourself? Can we actually step back a moment and stop considering ourselves? Here's true endurance and perseverance. When we can do what God has asked us and step away and let his spirit bear the fruit. Don't let the sinful talk of man entangle you and hinder your race. Fix your eyes on Jesus, for he is the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance. In verse 12, he has qualified you and he strengthened you with all power, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all perseverance, all cheerful endurance and patience, joyously giving thanks. Let's just bow our heads. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for each person that's here this morning. You have favor waiting for each one as they find their birthright blessing, because they know their spirit is joined with yours, and they recognize themselves as a child of God. And I pray a blessing over each one, that they would expand in their knowledge of you, that every good work would bear fruit in their lives. Father, light their path today and this week. May we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, and may his scent be heavy upon our lives, giving us endurance to see triumphs made out of our trials. Bless each mother as she receives love today from her children. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus, and our helper, the Holy Spirit. We glorify your name. Amen. And as we close, I just want to complete this action laid out here in verse 9, because it says something pretty blatant. It says, do not cease praying for you. I do not cease praying for you. We need to pray for each other. So today, I want you to just look around in your little circle where you're at. And you probably know something going on with that person that's not too far from you. And I want to give you opportunity to pray for each other. You know, God puts people into your life and allows you to learn of their needs so that you can pray for them. You can uphold them. So we're going to close the service like that. Brett, I don't know, or Shar, I don't know if there's any soft music you can pop on. But let's take a little moment and then you're dismissed.